Well, morning, folks. If you're here in the auditorium and up in the gallery at Church in the Marketplace, and g'day to you if you're listening in online, we pray that God will bless you as you listen in today. We're getting close to the end of a series that we call Dare. We've been trying to explore whether we're on track. That's probably not the right language, but are we on track in a number of key areas of our faith? And the way we practice our faith. So we're challenging ourselves, we're daring ourselves to be serious. And today we want to ask ourselves if we're ready, or if we're not, to dare ourselves to wait on God. Because honestly, few things make us more irritated than having to wait. We don't like to wait in traffic. I mean, does anybody actually like waiting in traffic? No. We don't like to wait in the dentist's room. We don't like to wait at the airport. We don't like waiting. And technology, it's speeded up everything in our world, and it's made us much more accustomed to doing things fast. And maybe that's made us a little bit more impatient. And fast food has made us more impatient. And my gut feeling is, and maybe it's yours too, is that in contrast to that, somehow waiting is an important part of life. It's an important part of our character development. There are some things we can only learn by waiting. We can't learn them any other way. Every child has to learn the difference between no and not yet. They're not the same thing. But an immature child doesn't know the difference between no and not yet. And our inability to wait is the cause of so many problems. We get in a hurry. Our inability to delay gratification is the cause of so much debt. We buy so much stuff on credit and we get into too much debt. Many of our social problems, many of our relationship problems are because we're not willing to wait. And so many issues come just from that one issue about waiting, because I want it, and I want it, and I want it now. Now, have you ever been in a hurry when God wasn't? That can seem the most frustrating of all. It's kind of like we are in God's waiting room, and we can rush our kids. We can rush our friends, but can't rush God. Some of us right now, we're waiting on God. We're waiting for God to open a door. We're waiting for God to give us an opportunity. We're waiting for God to answer a prayer. We're waiting for clarification. We're waiting for a new direction. We're waiting for God to remove a pain or heal a relationship. And we think, I don't get this. I pray and nothing's happening. What's the delay? So why does God delay? When clearly, if God is God, every prayer could be answered instantly. Well, aside from the fact that if I had every prayer answered instantly, I'd be a very selfish person, because I'd treat God like a vending machine. God, I need this, just pray and I've got it instantly. Ecclesiastes 3 says, God does everything just right and on time, but people can never completely understand what he is doing. Well, of course, if I understand everything God was doing, I'd be God. God is God and I'm not. So I don't understand what's just right, and I don't always understand what's on time as far as God is concerned. So today I want us to look at what we do when we have to wait on God, when we dare to wait on God. And I want to ask just two questions. What do we need to remember, and what do we need to do when we're waiting on God? As we prepare to do that, let's pray. Lord, we admit it. We can be impatient people. We think we know best how our lives might unroll. We know best what we think we want to do, and how we want to do it. And we think our knowing best is somehow sometimes different from your knowing best. And sometimes we are just not very patient. So Lord, help us as we think this morning just about waiting, what that means for us, Lord, that you will just grab hold of us and maybe show us some areas in our lives where we can be more patient or where we might need to wait. And Lord, we pray that in that area of our faith practice, you would just help us to grow some more, because we've just taken a few minutes to think about that purpose of yours, that sometimes things aren't fulfilled immediately for us and we need to be patient and wait. So just help us as we do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here are some things to remember if we dare to wait. First thing to remember is that, and we talked about this in one of our other parts of the Dare series, there's a delay between planting and harvesting. I have a garden. Well, Jan has a garden and I pot around in it sometimes. Put things where I should. And when Jan gets me to plant seeds, even I, gardener that I'm not, even I don't go out the next day and expect to see full-grown vegetables. There's always a delay between planting and harvesting. There's always a delay between sowing and reaping. Ecclesiastes 3 says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to scatter and a time to gather." It's simply talking about seasons. We always get the results of what we plant in life in another season, not in the same season. We don't plant and harvest in the same season. And many of you have planted seeds of some kind here at church in the marketplace. Maybe they've been financial seeds. You've given some financial resources. Maybe they are seeds of service. Maybe they are seeds of sacrifice. We're not going to harvest those things immediately. We just need to understand that it comes, but it comes in another season. We reap in a different season than we sow. And during the season of waiting, all we can do is wait quietly and wait expectantly and wait patiently and wait faithfully. The second thing we can remember is that there is something spiritual going on. It's a spiritual thing between good and evil, in dimensions and realities and realms that we don't always see. We don't always see it directly, all the forces of good and evil, but we are in some ways caught up in it. So Ephesians 6 says, "We're not struggling and fighting against human beings, but against evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realm, the rulers, authorities, and powers of darkness." While we're waiting for something, we might experience that battle, if you like, as doubt. We might experience it as discouragement. We might experience it as disappointment or as delay or as depression. I don't know any more about it than that, really, but just know that this is not as simple as we sometimes think it is. It is enough to remember a delay is not a denial. When an answer to prayer is delayed, it doesn't mean it's not going to be answered. Sometimes we just need to keep on praying. Third thing we can remember is that God is preparing us. When I have an idea and I ask God to do something in my life, God usually has a bigger idea or a better idea, and he's going to have to prepare me to get ready. And he usually has to take some time getting me ready, preparing you. The first thing God wants to do before he answers our prayer, for a job, for a mate, for a child, to get married, whatever our prayer request is, he first wants to get us ready. Because God's more interested in changing our character than he is in answering our prayer, because our character is ultimately what takes us into heaven. 1 Peter 1 says, "There is a wonderful joy ahead." That's the ultimate answer to our prayers. There's a wonderful joy ahead. Even though it may be necessary for you to endure many trials for a while, those trials include delays, these troubles test your faith to show that it is strong and pure, just as fire tests and purifies gold, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. Some of you, it feels like you're going through the fire right now. But keep going. We don't want to stay there. We keep walking when we're going through the fire. We keep going. Waiting is always a test. It's a test of our character. It tests our trust. It tests our faith. It tests our endurance. It tests all kinds of things in our lives. Waiting is a test. In fact, Paul compares waiting in life, waiting on God, when we really want something to happen that hasn't happened yet. Paul compares it to being pregnant. Now, I realise 50% of people here this morning are going to know much more about this than the other half. But Romans 8:24 to 28 says it like this. Women, you can put your hand up if you've been pregnant and you think this describes it well. Waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy. Meanwhile, when we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He prays in us and for us. He knows us far better than we know ourselves and knows our pregnant condition. That's why we can be so sure that every detail of our lives of love for God is worked into something good. When a woman is pregnant, we say she is expecting a baby. And that's what it's like in some ways to wait for God. We know something is coming. We know it's going to happen. But this is what we've got to do. We've got to wait. Another thing we can remember is that we're in good company. Millions of saints before us, Scripture says, have sat in God's waiting room. We are not alone. In fact, if you're in the waiting room right now, there are a lot of other people sitting around you who are in the same situation. Hebrews 11 says, people who lived in the past became famous because of their faith. And every one of those people had to wait. Think about Hannah, had to wait years to have the baby that she was praying that God would give her. Think about Joseph, who God gave him a dream of being a ruler, and he had that vision from a very early age, and he ends up being put in prison for 14 years for a crime he didn't commit, falsely accused of rape. And he spends 14 years in a prison and a dungeon in Egypt waiting. I reckon God knew where he was. Moses waits 40 years in the wilderness to know his purpose in life, to know his next assignment. Abraham waits 100 years before he has Isaac and his first child through Sarah. God waited thousands of years before sending the Messiah. We get in a hurry, but God's not. We can remember that God keeps his promises. We can count on God to come through because of, we talked about it the other week, there are 7,000 promises in the Bible. God's kind of staked his reputation on those. So what do we do in the waiting room? We don't focus on what we can't do. I don't have the money. I don't have the talent. I don't have the connections. I don't have the opportunity. We don't focus on what we don't have. We focus on what God does have, what God can do. One of the ways we focus on what God can do is through those promises of God. Promises can help us focus on God and his unlimited abilities instead of me and my limited abilities. Habakkuk 2 says, God says, at the time I have decided, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting, it will happen. So there's some things that we can remember. Here are some things that we can do if we are in a waiting room, waiting on God. Some of you will be much better than me at doing this, but we can write down the lessons that we're learning. I mean, waiting is always a time to listen. And waiting is always a time to learn. And when we're listening and learning, then often it's helpful to write it down. I mean, God often has things to teach us before he answers our prayer. And God has things he wants us to learn before that seed that we're planting sprouts. As I said, God's more interested in our character than he is in our comfort. But I forget some of the lessons that I learn in the waiting rooms of life. And sometimes it helps to just write them down. I have a brother and a sister. After every baby, my mum used to write down all of the things that she didn't like about having a baby, you know, just so she'd remember next time when she thought it might be a good idea to have another one. Lucky I got two brothers, a brother and a sister, isn't it? Some of you have been through that sort of pain of waiting in life several times. And we don't want to go through it again. Sometimes it's helpful to write down some of the things that we learn. Moses led the children out of Egypt across the wilderness to the promised land. It should have taken... you can walk the distance in a few weeks, even with a large crowd. It took them 40 years. What in the world were they doing for 40 years walking around in a circle? And God was giving them one test after another, saying, will you trust me? And there are actually seven tests. Every time they'd fail a test, he said, another lap around the wilderness. And in that wilderness, they weren't there by accident. Waiting in the wilderness had a purpose. The way to the promised land was through the wilderness. We can't get to the promised land without going through the desert. We've got to go through the desert. We've got to go through the dry spells. And the lessons that we're learning in the wilderness, we can write them down. In Numbers 33, God's instruction to Moses was, at the Lord's direction, Moses kept a written record of their progress. It's often in the waiting periods of life that we learn the lessons that lead to future successes. Some of the tiniest lessons we learn in dry periods, in depressing periods, in discouraging periods, those little lessons can lead to success later on. Deuteronomy 11 says, remember what you've learned about the Lord through your experiences with him. Second thing we can do is, I don't quite know how to say this any other way, act as though we have received it. In one sense, that's a definition of faith. When we plant a seed of finance, a seed of talent in service, a seed of energy, a seed of reputation, when we've had a need and we've planted a seed, what we do while we're waiting for that seed to grow is to act as though we already have it. When we're in the waiting rooms, the wildernesses of life, you know what we typically do. What we do is we wonder and we worry and we whine. That's what we do in the waiting rooms of life. First, we wonder, why, Lord? Why me? And then we worry, how, Lord? How? How are you going to do this? And then we whinge or whine, when, Lord? When? When are you going to answer my prayer? So instead of wondering and worrying and whining, we need to learn to act as if we already have got it. We act in faith. So Mark says it this way. Jesus said, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Believe that you've received it and it will be yours. Do you notice a change in tense there? Believe that you have received it. That's past tense. And then he says, it will be yours. That's future. What in the world is Jesus saying? Believe that I've already got it in order to get it? And it seems that's exactly what he is saying. So are you telling me, Peter, I've got to believe something is so, even though it isn't yet so, in order that it becomes so? And the answer to that is yes. When we thank God after something has happened, when we get an answer to our prayer, that's called gratitude. When we thank God before we get an answer to our prayer, that's called faith. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. The best example I can give you is to go back to the pregnant woman. Every pregnant woman does what we have just talked about. She carries inside her body the promise of a baby. She's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And even though she can't see that baby, she's never seen that baby. She knows it's there. She's confident that it's there. So even though she's never seen the baby, she starts preparing in advance for the baby's arrival. She might start eating differently, taking better care of her body, sleeping differently. She starts going out and buying maternity clothes because she knows she's going to get bigger. She starts stocking a nursery. They have baby showers and she gets clothes and nappies and all the paraphernalia, change tables and rocking bassinets and all that kind of stuff. But she's doing that in faith. They don't call it expecting for nothing. She's expecting a baby. She hasn't seen that baby, but she's acting as though it's already here. She doesn't want to wait for the day the baby is born and then say, well, I probably ought to have some clothes for this little tyke. I probably ought to have some nappies. maybe some bottles, maybe a place for the baby to sleep. No, those things are already done in advance because she's expecting. And she knows that that baby is coming. It's just a matter of time. She acts as though she already has it. Waiting isn't a passive thing. We do all we can to get ready. We don't wait in fear and apathy. We take action. We get prepared. We act as though we already have it. So the Bible says in Romans 4:17, God calls things that are not as though they already were. God calls things that are not as though they already were, and calls that faith. Another thing we can do is imitate the habits that grow strong faith. We can imitate people of strong faith and look at the habits that they have. We can find their skills, we can find their patterns, we can find their habits and follow that, imitate that to grow strong in our faith. In other words, we use the time while we're waiting to develop our personal maturity. So Hebrews 6 says it like this: we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. He says that's the kind of people we ought to be imitating when we're in the waiting room. We don't want to be lazy. We don't want to sit around passively doing nothing. He says imitate those who through faith and patience inherited what God promised. Philippians says it this way: keep on putting into practice all you've learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing. That's called imitation. So when we're going through a period of waiting, we should look around, find a stronger Christian, a godly woman, a godly man, and see what they're doing. Imitate their faith. When we're in the waiting room of life, we don't put our life on hold. Waiting is not inactivity. It's not idleness. It's not laziness. It's not passivity. It's not apathy. Waiting is the time to develop habits and skills that we're going to use later. Very quickly, a couple of those habits. The Bible says there are five things that we can keep on doing. The first one is we can keep on praying. Matthew 7:7 says, keep on asking, and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. That's actually the correct Greek. It's a participle. It's a continuation. It's a continuing verb. It says keep on doing, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and you will get your answer. Keep on praying. Second thing we can do is keep on serving. Romans 12:11 says, never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. It will sharpen our skills. See, we don't get to serve God in a big way unless we've served God in a small way first. If we're faithful in little things, it says, then we will be faithful in much. Why serving? Because that's another meaning of the word wait. Wait doesn't just mean expect something to happen that hasn't happened yet. Wait also means to serve. Have you ever had a waiter at your table? Why do they call that guy a waiter? You're the one who's waiting. You're waiting for the food. You're waiting on him, not he's waiting on you. They're two different meanings. When we say I'm waiting for something to happen, that's what we're doing. But wait also means to serve. That's why servers are called waiters. Ladies in waiting. Well, women who serve the Queen. Because the word wait doesn't just mean expect. It also means serve. And when we're in the waiting rooms of life, that's a good time to practice serving, to find a ministry, to just get involved. Don't sit around doing nothing, waiting for your ship to come in. Get out there and start serving. Third thing we can do is keep on relating. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't give up your habit of meeting with other believers. Instead, keep on encouraging one another. Don't give up the habit. We can keep on sowing. Ecclesiastes 11 says, keep on sowing your seed, for you never know which ones will grow. Perhaps they all will. And then we can keep on believing. 2 Timothy says, you must keep on believing the things you've been taught. You know they are true. The point is, while we're waiting, stay active. The big point I'm trying to make is, waiting is not being passive. God cannot steer a parked car. I'm waiting on God. Well, turn on the ignition and just start driving. Where? Anywhere. God can direct a car that's moving. He can't direct a car that's stalled. So get involved in a ministry. Get involved in service. Get involved in a small group. Do the things you know you could be doing, developing skills and habits now to prepare so that when that baby arrives, you're not caught off guard. Write down the lessons. Act as though you already have it. Imitate the habits of strong faith. And then lastly, T, trust God instead of panicking. Is that how you spell panicking? Anyway, there are a couple of facts we can trust about God. God is never in a hurry. We can be sure of it. God is not in a hurry. Number two, God is never late. We can know that for sure. God's timing, we saw earlier, is perfect. What happens in those times where it appears that God is late? God already knows what he's going to do in our lives. God knows next month, next year, next decade. And his purpose for us is good. And we need to trust God. We need to relax. And when we're in the waiting room, we need to say, okay, he's not early. He's not late. God is on time. And I will trust God and I will do these things. I'll write down some of the things I learn. I'll act as though it's already happened. I'm going to keep on doing. I'm going to keep on sowing. I'm going to keep on sharing. I'm going to keep on serving and believing and praying and relating. Because God's timing is perfect and God is not late. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, so let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while, at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. Let me say that again. So let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while, at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. Psalm 56 puts it this way, even when I'm afraid, I keep on trusting you. So I dare you to let that be you. Let's pray. Our Lord God, I realize that the waiting room I'm in may be your waiting room on me. Maybe you're waiting on me to demonstrate faith. Maybe I've been afraid to trust you. I've been afraid to commit to you. I've been afraid to step out in faith. Sometimes the waiting room is really of my own making. In some sense, I've put my life on hold because I fear something about the future. But Lord, no more. Because we realize the fear is not going to go away by us just hoping it goes away. So we commit ourselves unreservedly to you. And even when we're afraid, we will trust you. And we're going to keep on praying and serving and relating and sowing and believing. And we're going to write down some of those lessons that we've learned, and we're going to act as though you have already answered our prayer. And we will remember the expectant mother and be preparing and learning good habits and learning new skills and trusting you instead of panicking. Lord, help us to do all those things, to remember them and to do them. And folks, if you're here this morning and you've never opened your life to Jesus, you can simply say, Jesus, please come into my life right now and make yourself real to me. I want to learn to love you and trust you. And I want to dare to wait on you and trust that your timing is perfect. Lord, these prayers we ask together in the name of Jesus. Amen.